I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
Just as electrical grounding is important for safe radio transmission, WGXC's Catskill Studio has become a grounding space for our station. With your help, we now have the opportunity to expand our space for even more community programming, workshops, and in-studio performances. Your donation to Wavefarm's WGXC Radio for Open Ears contributes to the expansion of community radio on air, online, and on Main Street. Go to wgxc.org/donate now to make your contribution.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Tail Campriel of Athens, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hi, this is Michael Wilde inviting you to Mostly Singles. And if you like what you're hearing, you'll love this show. Rarefied music, premieres, and guests. It's different every time. And a podcast, too. Go to WGX.
Generation Festival. Welcome to 2026, everybody. It's going to be fun. To my left is Cody. We've got everything running tonight. How you doing, Cody?
Hello.
And to his left is Greg joining us live. How are you, Greg?
Great. Happy New Year, y'all.
Out in the interwebs, we have Brian coming to us over the telegrams. What is this? What's happening? My mic is going to...
You got to tighten some things.
I haven't got the tool for it.
No tools?
No.
Oh, boy.
So I hope you guys can hear me.
They can hear you a little bit.
How about this? How about now? It won't stay there.
You're good.
It will not stay there. No, of course we didn't get the mics like set up before like this. No, it's at this elbow and I need a hex key to fix it.
Will this do that?
Nope. No, I mean, okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I guess I'll turn.
Yeah, it's all good.
It'll get you.
Yeah, well, welcome to fun times. You know what?
Oops.
This is how you should just expect the rest of your year to be. Nothing's going to be right. Everything's going to suck, just at least from a little bit to a lot.
Unless you have a hex key.
Unless you have a hex key.
What is a hex key?
An Allen wrench.
It's like a hex, only different.
I don't know. Sounds like a spell that you cast.
It's better than a. I was gonna say it's better than a curse, but hex keys can be a curse when they round out.
Ooh. That.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you get the Torx bit.
Yeah, you go get the Torx bit that's one size up, and then you hammer it into the thing, and then you back it out. Guaranteed to work. Yeah.
Square pit.
How are we doing over there? All right. Okay, we got anything grinding your gears tonight?
I tried to avoid grinding gears. I put grease. Some molybdenum disulfide. I can never say that right.
Molybdenum.
Molybdenum disulfide.
Oh, I watched an episode of Alex Steele where he forged molybdenum.
You can forge molybdenum?
Not really. but he, if anyone can, he can, and he managed to get it going.
When I was a cab driver out in Denver, we used to get industrial rides up to the molybdenum mine at Climax, Colorado. And they have literally carved away an entire mountain. That mine runs 24/7. If they're down and they need a bearing from from Denver, they just call a cab and we run that up to the molybdenum mine in Climax, Colorado.
Nice.
I didn't even know we mined molybdenum here. Wow.
That's because they can't pronounce it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
It's like sea anemones or anemone and anemone.
You're saying you worked in a mine or for a company that?
Yellow cab.
Oh, I got you.
They literally call the cab just to send it up.
Day or night, any kind of weather, we'll deliver that bearing for you to your molybdenum mine.
Oh, yeah.
To get you that molybdenum disulfide.
Eat your heart out, Uber.
It's Uber for manufacturing and mining.
That's right.
That sounds terrible. I used Grubhub for the first time over the weekend. I was dismayed.
Locally?
No. I was in Albany. I was in a place that actually participated in such things.
Yeah, I would have been surprised if you got anything here.
And I was just like, I just want to order some local Chinese food. And they're like, we can't call the Chinese place. We have to go to Grubhub website. I'm like, I can't call people and just tell them to bring me food and give them cash. And they're like, no. You have to go to the website. You have to put in all your personal info. You have to give them your credit card.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have to prepay for it. And that's the best part is you pay for it, and then the dumbass driver goes to the wrong place, and you're like, delivered it. And it's like, no, you didn't. Go back and you get my package now or I'll hunt you down.
Well.
So, yeah, instead of a tip, you get threats from me.
You paid for convenience, and what did you get? Inconvenience.
Yeah, it took even longer than just if they were. I'm like, just deliver.
Yeah, but
how are you people making money? How does this make sense?
That's the thing.
What a country.
These intermediators, they take your data because there's no money in actually being a middleman, and then they sell the data and do a poor job of getting people to actually deliver you.
Why are we in this, like, downward trend of service quality? Like, everything has to suck. Like, there's a word for it that I can't say on air because the FCC is governed by complete morons.
But if you are interested in learning about what the word is, you can go look up Cory Doctorow.
That's correct.
The guy who coined it. He's still alive. He still writes about it. So you'll find it really quickly.
Yep. And you all are very aware of this word. And it applies to everything that's happening.
Well,
all over.
There's probably something out there that's not being...
Wait.
Inverbified?
I'm looking through the links of stuff we've posted for something positive. Well,
apparently our gears get ground pretty often.
Yeah. Science has not exactly been on an upward trend this year. Oh, yeah, hackers love the holidays.
They love the holidays? Why is that?
That's when you're most likely to be attacked. Any and all federal holidays or any time when, especially if it's like a three-day weekend or extended time, especially Christmas and New Year's, when a lot of businesses will drop to just a skeleton crew, that is when certain types of people know to attack. because their defenses are down. The ability to respond is limited. Sometimes, like, if you get in deep enough, like, you got to go up the chain to get certain security levels happening, like certain things taken offline or certain actions done. Can't do that when the boss is drunk at the Christmas party.
Oh, interesting.
So that's your best time to go. If you're a gray or a black hat, or even if you're a white hat trying to penetration test your company, do it at the holidays. That's when they're the weakest.
What was that thing, Brian, that you posted? AI haters build tar pits to trap and trick AI scrapers that ignore robots.
Brian, you there? And he died. His connection failed.
I think the connection is broken.
Has anybody heard of this?
I didn't look into it, but I meant to, because that's actually a problem WGXC was experiencing. A lot of AI bots were scraping their data consistently, reducing their server. We hear you, Brian. Reducing their server, or increasing their server load. So WGX, like, they sent me an email, like, what do we do about it? I'm like, well, do you want the AI to be trained on stuff like this or not? That's the AI being created could have your stuff in it or not. That's your choice. But I know it's
probably already does.
But the messed up part is WGXE has to expend the resources for this. And
yeah, they pay for traffic.
And this isn't even like piracy, where piracy is a net benefit. Don't even argue with me. I'll destroy you. This is different. This is like there is a net loss to the system, it just seems.
Well, there's piracy, which is copyright infringement by individuals. You know, little people. You and me and Greg and whoever else.
Yeah.
You know, that is not...
Or the college students out there that need some textbooks.
Yeah, there's not. It's not nearly as extractive as what the likes of OpenAI and other companies are doing.
But they get a blanket pass.
Oh well, I don't know if they're getting a blanket pass. I mean, there's still lawsuits waiting to be decided on. So I don't know.
The latest executive order just told every state you're not permitted to make any regulations against AI. It's not something the states have to follow.
That could change.
There is an active push in our current administration to let AI get as powerful as possible with no regard for the human consequence.
Right.
Like pollution, money, economics. We're already spending more money on data centers than we are for people in a lot of places.
By people, you mean
like
social services, supportive programs, things like that?
I meant like the entire like regional GDP.
I mean, technically, it could be said that military spending is spending on people, just the dismantling and rapid, unplanned deconstruction of people.
No. It's a planned deconstruction of people.
That's not their plan.
not their plan. But
yeah, no, they're piracy. Fine, whatever. The damage you could do as an individual, it's minuscule compared to what these companies are capable of.
Yeah, they're going.
The amount of capital that they're putting into it and the power that a data center has to, you know, scrape the internet.
But they're powerful, so they get a pass. Like, even if they could just keep delaying the legal repercussions down the road.
It's a huge weaponized pile of money.
Well, the interesting thing is, I don't know that anyone, even people in the position of power, have the slightest idea what AI is capable of.
I don't think it's dangerous so much as inevitable. Like, humans are terrible and inefficient, and they will be replaced by something. We just got to figure out what that's going to be. Oh, no. It's just a slightly advanced encyclopedia. that can talk to you. Welcome to WGXC. Everybody awake? Welcome to the new year. Sorry about that hangover. Yeah.
Just so I don't have to yell into the other mics. What Brian was talking about with the AI tar pit is current scrapers, they don't respect the old robots.txt file, which you put in on your website to say, hey, don't scrape these domains or these subdomains or my domain entirely. And Google and others used to respect that with their search engines. Well, OpenAI and Anthropic and all the, you know, large language model trainers ignore all that. So what these intrepid hackers have done, or one intrepid hacker, they've created an automatic text generation program that will generate a random page that links to like five other random pages, and essentially it traps the crawler. Is this, you know, disrespectful large language model training crawler?
Arthropod that crawls around.
Yeah, exactly. It keeps following the links of this randomly generated text.
That's brilliant.
Forever. And it won't scrape any of the other parts of the website, theoretically. I think we have Brian back. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, I don't know if the REM mic is up. I can hear
it. We can hear you. REM 2 is on.
Oh, yeah, it works. Yeah, that's cool, right? Like, you can totally create a text file, a fake text file that keeps on flipping it, and you trap an AI into a thing and hypnotize it with false data.
It makes me happy.
And train it to what you want to train it.
And, I mean, theoretically, every time an AI screws something up, you could blame somebody out there trying to mess up the AI or something like that. But, nah.
You can't just blame them on, like,
nah.
It's already baked into the data that it was trained on. Like, these things are just really very high-dimensional vector maps, right?
What's a vector map?
It's basically an array with many dimensions, and any point in that array has a series of directions and magnitudes that points to the next point. That's how it kind of generates the next token. Is it assigns weights to certain points based on where you start and a randomness factor.
So let me get this straight. Instead of shake and bake, it's scrape and bake.
It's scrape and bake, that's right. And what the tool that Brian was talking about, this AI tar pit does, is it just
literally
is it garbage, just constant, endless garbage into its recipe.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that is what I've encountered in the use of large language models. Yes.
So keep in mind, everybody out there that hasn't implemented their own tar pits, the AI has likely scraped your data and assimilated it into itself. You have no copyright protections when it comes to artificial intelligence. They own everything you've ever made.
For now.
For now, until you get out there and do something about it, people.
Yeah, you can't wait for Big Daddy Government to come and save you.
Call your local representatives and tell them this sort of thing makes you angry. If it does.
Even then, what are they going to do?
They're not going to listen to you. They're going to listen to their big donors and the OpenAI, which is why you need to go find these people at the... Hey, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about? I don't know.
2026. It's new technologies coming our way. What are we looking forward to this year?
It's been named the year of slop. Or to be.
I said looking forward to.
You're not looking forward to that?
Nope.
People will get sick of it, and then they'll be like, oh, actually, things generated by human hands are great.
No, no. You see, AI slop is great for, like, 5 minutes, and then you have post-nut clarity. So, no. Yeah, you all know what I'm talking about. It's great. Then it's not. And then it kills us because, it, like, you guys realize that as munitions are advanced further and further, the only way to defend or end or create a sort of normalcy will be a new, an actual Skynet, a network of drones ready and raring to disable any incoming threat, but also able to generate any sort of threat at any given time. Our lives will be governed by electronics 24/7. And there won't be any human on the planet to escape it. There won't be an Amazon tribe that doesn't know what a drone is. And that's in 100 years.
Well, if everybody moves away and into the cities, away from the rural and into the urban, and then you go and escape to the rural and raise a tribe there.
Nope.
That tribe won't know about drones.
No, that tribe will be governed by drones.
No.
Because, like, somebody from the rural, from the urban area could just send a couple of drones out to see what the tribe's doing. I'll bet you they'll be bored and curious.
Just, you gotta go someplace where they're not gonna wanna go.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
that's the problem. The whole planet will be covered. There will be no escape.
You can go to islands. There will be islands where you can't just send a consumer drone.
And which dystopian novel is Cody describing now?
I have no idea.
Ding, 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 we're talking reservations. That would be Aldous Huxley.
The Island.
What? Like,
there will be perfect savages out there.
Exactly. That's it. I, when I'm reading that book, I always knew, like, into tech as much as I would, I'd be one of the savages.
Pay attention. Pay attention to what?
Please pay attention. Please don't let this happen. Please.
One of the more difficult reads that I've had, just because it is a very wide vocabulary.
Brave New World?
Yeah.
He might have been stoned at the time. I'm really not sure.
Well, at least it was in 1984 with Newspeak.
The Doors to Perception, right? That was one of his essays, The Doors of Perception.
Yeah.
And it was
on this perfect island, the police have a dozen drones to hunt down. Firework violators.
Brian's talking about what's actually happening in Hawaii right now because they were celebrating heavily with fireworks for the New Year's.
Yeah, unsanctioned.
Consistently.
Unsanctioned displays.
Yeah,
which
the drones haven't covered that condition yet, and I don't know if they'll crack down symmetrically because that rarely happens too. So, I don't know. There's grace.
Anything else we are looking forward
to? I'm looking forward to the year of the Linux desktop.
Yay, yes.
It's never been easier.
There's a huge push against Windows with all of the crap they've been building into it.
All the AI things you never asked for, but yet are still being pushed and delivered.
And the advertisements right there on your desktop. If you have Windows, your system's compromised. Nothing you do can be trusted. It's basically known by somebody else. Get a Linux desktop. Do it now. I don't care how much it hurts. It's going to be worth it.
Or we'll
be happy.
Make it into a Linux desktop. All you need is a cheap USB drive. Find that one in the drawer that you've had laying around for the last 5 years. And write a Linux ISO to it with a program called Rufus or UnetBootin. Go find a distro like Bazite, which is like...
And if you put in...
You don't have to be a crazy command line wizard to install it.
If you put in just a little bit more effort, you can install Linux alongside your current operating system. You could have Windows on there and that you just dual boot to Linux when you want to so that you can not just dive into the deep end and dip your toe in a little bit at a time. It helps, like, get used... That way you get into your, you know, open source software. as opposed to your Microsoft Office that you're paying for all the time, you were going to save tons of money.
You didn't have to worry about that.
What? There's
better solutions out there now. Like OnlyOffice, for one, that is essentially a drop-in replacement for Office, Microsoft Office, and Office 365. And there's also, obviously, LibreOffice.
Yes, Libre.
I prefer LibreOffice just because it's what I'm used to.
Yeah, Libre's great. It works. It's open. And I love it when people complain when I give them an open document format and they can't open it.
Why can't they open it?
Because their systems don't want to.
That's nonsense, though, because Microsoft Office now opens.
And that's why I love it. Well, no, don't. Like, there's still people with Windows. I hand them an open document and they're like, I can't open this.
No, I mean, on modern Windows machines that come with Office, it can open it. It's an open standard. Okay.
I need you to go talk to these people I meet online and tell them that this is that they're wrong.
I'd be happy to. I'd be happy to tell them that they're wrong. Being wrong in
the You'd be the second person to tell them they're wrong because I already have. Because I'm like, no, this is open, and if you can't open this, it's your fault.
It is.
Your system's messed up. Keep working until you can open this.
Or they can just, you know, just download the program. It's not going to hurt them.
Most people also try to open things on their phone, and they won't.
That's different.
But I can still open documents on my phone.
Yeah, because you have a specific program to do it.
Probably.
Yeah, I know you do. It's a LibreOffice viewer. Hey, I know the one. It's on F-Droid.
They don't have like an Office suite for Android yet. That kind of makes sense. Doesn't make sense.
They do not, as far as I know.
So let me ask you something. I'm on my island, right? I've got my Linux desktop, and I've got Google, I've got Gmail, and they're, like, stealing all my data. And
at least all the data that comes in from your email.
Well, I don't even know the extent. So that there's Google, got to get rid of my Gmail, then there's Instagram, all my work's on Instagram. So, you know.
Well, I mean, that's fine. You know, the data that lives on those platforms can live there. It doesn't mean you have to have, the Inspector General on your computer looking at what you're doing all the time, does it? Just because you have certain things on certain platforms that don't respect your privacy?
Yeah, that's the extra leap that Windows is doing to people.
Yeah, I mean, you got Windows Recall, where it's literally taking a screenshot
every
10 seconds or so?
Yeah, periodically takes a screenshot of everything you do.
Unbelievable.
So, you know.
And not only does it take a screenshot of the things that you're doing, it feeds them into its large language model, or whatever machine learning thing it has.
It's
running
AI.
On a data center, taking all kinds of power, uselessly, and then feeding that back to you. It's you know, summarized fed back to you, so you have a memory, quote-unquote, of what you were doing an hour or two ago.
You're dirtying water and killing trees just by using your computer now. And we're not. We are better than you.
The only thing that ours does is sits there and uses the power that it was designed for.
It does what we ask it to do.
No.
And nothing more. What a concept! It doesn't just sit there in the background spinning its gears, burning up coal, just trying to figure out, like, an attempt to figure out what you're going to say next. I mean, and it could just wait for you to say it. That's literally, like, what the edges we're on right now.
No co-pilot.
Get rid of co-pilot. Cortana is always watching.
You don't have to have co-pilot make suggestions about what to do in your spreadsheets.
You know, interestingly, I've been worried about the climate problems with ChatGPT, and my son figured out how to do chat locally, so nobody's listening in, and you're not burning up carbon.
Yes. Everybody can run LLMs locally. Depending on your hardware, the better your hardware, the better the LLM you can run, and the more RAM you can allocate to it. But most modern computers, nothing fancy, can run decent enough LLMs where you can have a conversation with it or use it for research and stuff like that. Those are the ones I use. They all run on my computers. They don't run in the cloud, which is somebody else's computer, watching what you do.
I had never heard of it until
this. It's not the easiest thing to install and do, but if you're...
That's not true.
You're right, you're right.
I help people do it. It's part of my job. Is that they want to run an LLM locally? I go, sure. Go grab one of two programs.
Olama.
Easy as heck.
Go get the Olama install script.
That's for command line nerds like you. For non-command line nerds, you get LM Studio or Jan.
Really?
Yep. The names of two programs there, LM Studio and Jan. And those both act as nice little front ends to the engine that runs many, many large language models called Llama CPP.
No, I was not aware of and the GUI aspect.
Yeah, and they provide a fairly decent interface to go download new models from the hub of
the interwebs.
All LLM, at least open large language model research. HuggingFace.co.
Good info.
Yeah, and...
They have a lot of different models meant for lots of different things. Like, do you want a DM for your Dungeons & Dragons night? You can have an LLM that's literally built for that. I think, like, Mistral and whatnot. Oh, that's right. Everybody is listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
We're only a minute late. It's fine.
Ah, we get it in. At least we got it in.
Yeah. Compared to the...
Close enough.
Yeah, right. Compared to the models that are running on these cloud platforms, like, you know, Claude or ChatGPT, the ones that you can run on your machine are very limited.
But they can be trained for specific tasks. If you want it to be just, say, your dungeon master, there's ones for that. If you want it to just be the explosives expert telling you what not to do, they have those too.
But just in terms of like the parameters that these things take into account as part of their... As I mentioned earlier in the show, the vector space in which they're operating. I think the big models are somewhere up around 200 billion parameters, and
yeah,
what you can usually fit into a standard consumer, say a graphics processor or just your system RAM, is somewhere between 12 and 16 billion.
Yes, your desktop computer is not going to do nearly as well as OpenAI's massive data centers.
Well, the thing is, you know...
It's still good enough.
AI is being pushed...
Amazingly.
...hard on television ads. So, you know, I imagine 99% of the inquiries are like, who's in the Super Bowl this year? So, you know, I
which is funny, because that's like one of the questions that I can't answer. Because well, its data is like... Unless it has access to the internet.
Who's in the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, these are questions that should go to Google, not an AI. And Google has a database that's all done and doesn't burn down trees and give you the answer.
No, it does burn down trees, because guess what? The AI answer is right there at the start. It generates it on
that's
the fly.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
God help you.
Kind of out of spite. Just because I know that the $10 I paid for that game is nothing compared to the resources that game's producer has to have in place for me to be able to use this game over and over and over again. It's obviously hooked up to a ChatGPT or like Grok or something back end, and those things aren't free, and that game is free to me to use now forever, so where's the resources coming from to keep me being able to play this video game?
Wait, the thing just randomly generates things? The game randomly generates?
No. It's a game that has a specific flow to it, but it's more like a text-based adventure, kind of, because you're just talking to an AI avatar.
Oh.
And you're trying to help them through a situation. And you're within the bounds of their situation, But their back end is still, like I said, a fully plugged in LLM that somebody's paying for.
Yeah, because they're not going to install a whole LLM to your computer, are they? You should probably look into that.
It's not. It's using no resources.
Oh, really?
None at all. It takes my voice and everything, sends it off to the server, gets processed there, and then it comes back to me once it's processed. And it's an AI, so you can totally screw with it and make the game not the game. But again, somebody's paying for that system that I've just gained theoretically lifelong access to.
The developers, they're paying for it.
Yep.
And when their funds run dry, guess what's going to happen? Your game don't work anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to get mad and be like, I want my $10 back like 20 years.
So I kind of like playing chess, and the number of possible chess games is 10 to the 120, which is 40 orders of magnitude more than there are atoms in the universe.
But there's still a computer that can beat you.
How many of those 10 to the 140 are chess games with moves that actually make sense?
Well, it's 10 to the 120.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I was off by a couple orders of magnitude.
20 orders of magnitude.
Yeah.
Your bag of shells. Theoretically, it's games that make sense.
All of them?
Theoretically. But then you might have to ask,
not all games.
What defines a game that makes sense?
You see, that I was just going to go there. Because not making sense isn't always the thing that makes sense. If you're a grandmaster, or let's say you're a regular person and you're going up against a grandmaster, the last thing you should do is try hard. The last thing you should do is implement any strategy. The grandmaster's going to kick your ass. Unless you go random. Unless you start making the dumbest, most random moves, you can infuriate a grandmaster to the point where they almost lose. I don't know if anyone's ever beaten them through this method, but, that's your best bet, is to just act like a complete dunce and make it not make sense.
I've heard a couple of stories about average people, street chess players. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll play a game with you. And beating the Grandmaster just because of them not really knowing.
Yeah.
And not knowing the patterns, and then just doing something that is unexpected.
Grandmaster's not prepared to play against a complete
I'm not talking
novice.
About that, though. I'm talking about chess games, quote-unquote, where, say, you're intentionally... You make moves that... A series of moves that are going to make you lose. You know what I mean?
That's hard to quantify.
Yeah, exactly.
Making a calculation, but I think...
To the Grandmaster, that's what you're doing.
Not every time. Not every time.
Well, let me ask you something. What happens if you do that with a computer? Just make absurd moves with a computer. It's still going to win, right?
Yeah. The computer's not going to be assuming you're... The computer's not going to look at it like the Grandmaster. The Grandmaster's going to lose because of their bias. The computer's not going to probably not going to have the bias, depending on how it's programmed. And would just keep going for the most logical way to win.
Well, if you introduce enough uncertainty into its prediction engine,
then what happens? You make
it's anybody's
the,
guess,
you
right?
Make
you
the
could
AI
win.
Uncertain.
You could win, quote unquote, right? At the very least, take it to a stalemate.
If I like going against the Grandmaster, it's your only chance. If your AI is not dumbed down to play with normal people, but it's I'm going to beat you.
I don't
That's
know.
Your only chance.
I don't play chess against computers.
Yeah, me neither. I play against humans. I like to win sometimes.
I like to actually sit down and face my opponent.
No, I do that online.
Oh, well.
I'm still online with my chess games, but it's at least a simple game, and it's with a human I know.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys play Go?
I've never played Go.
No.
That's a really intriguing game, and it was only recently that they were able to create you probably heard about this, create a computer.
Well, how recently? I mean, we're talking I think Google did, what, DeepMind and trained it on Go, 15 years ago?
I thought it was, last year that the first program was able to.
I don't know. Pick it up. It was something like that, but yeah. What about Go?
It's interesting. It was a much more intractable problem than chess, because a lot of Go is about sort of an intuitive approach or sort of a more graphic approach. You know, it's what the ancient Chinese kings used to train their generals on, how to capture territory, how to capture armies. So it's just a totally different approach. I'm not sure exactly how that plays out in terms of the mathematics of computation and creating programs.
We're talking about AlphaGo. It's a computer program that plays the board game Go. It was developed by London-based DeepMind Technologies. Looking for a year.
Well, that's
2012,
wow.
Well, it was off by 20 orders of magnitude, but that's okay.
Yeah, that was the first time that the software program Zen, running on a 4-PC cluster, beat Masaki Takemiya, twice at 5 and 4 stone handicaps. I don't know what that means.
Maybe it took a handicap? Or each
stone.
Player? Yeah, right. For each player. Each
I'd say handicap yourself.
Yeah. I don't even understand that. The objective of Go is to encircle your opponent. So I can see why that would be more graphical.
Exactly. And it's interesting. You know, some people that excel at chess can't play Go. It's like a different approach.
I gotta give this a try.
Yeah.
I bet you there's a KDE program where we can play Go together.
Ooh, cool.
It's just like how there's a KDE risk program.
Yeah, but that one sucks and it crashes.
Does it?
Well, make it not crash.
It's called, it's K-Circ.
K-Circ.
Or, no, or K, or it's risk backwards.
Right, with a K.
With a K, K
in front of it.
Yes.
Well.
Which is somehow better than the Steam version.
What is?
Like
K-Circ is better than
risk, like it's commercialized and it's like all daily tokens. It's a freemium game. It's not a real game. Is that, how dare you make Risk freemium? No, it's a wholesome, beautiful game, and you sullied it.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Brian, is there anything you're looking forward to in 2026?
I don't really know. Any kind of different movement.
Did you start taking down those Christmas lights, or did they start finally laying people off at the local power company?
I didn't put a huge amount up, but I did some really good random patterns on there that you're walking by trying to guess what it's supposed to be, and like, it's random. it looks like a wave. You know, it's not a wave, it's random.
Nothing's random. It is a wave. It is a pattern. It is whatever the person's seeing.
Yeah, apparently I did a Rorschach test. I'm going to put a table out in a day or two and make a freeze door in front so I can make some stuff out. But I know there's going to be a couple dry days in a row and we're going to get rain on. Get rid of lights and Christmas stuff and random other things.
Some of the many strands, 50 plus strands of Christmas lights.
I am going to keep some of them because I can use them to light up the trees. They actually work for lighting up small trees. But other than that, I want most of them to go. Yeah, no more Christmas.
There was some discussion of attempting to overload the local transformer.
When I started putting them up, I was trying to act. And I was like, that's enough. I'm going to overload it. And a lot of what I had left was mesh lights, which are like squares of lights.
Mesh lights?
Net lights. Nets.
Yeah.
It's like a net.
A strand of light. It's like a net. Yeah.
Hey,
fishing net.
I had a conversation with Phil the other day. He said he had met up with you.
Yeah, he did like 3 or 4 islands out here. I think his daughter did some kind of chemistry conference or something in But yeah, he stayed at Waikiki for a couple days. I'm like, what are you doing over there? But then they did go to the Arizona Memorial, which is something to visit. I've done that before. Get to look down at the ship that's been down at the bottom of the harbor for 80 years and it's still leaking oil.
Oh, gosh, Lord.
And still filled with the ghosts of dead.
Yeah, it's not just filled with ghosts, it's filled with bodies. That's why you can't touch it. It's a gravesite.
Is that the Arizona?
Yeah.
When did it go down?
Pearl Harbor.
Ah.
December 7th, 1941.
Yep. Infamy! When the Japanese showed us exactly how much honor they really have. None.
How much skill they
had. They totally screwed up. Their target was the aircraft carriers, and all they got was the battleships. Like, they made a big mess, and all they did was... All they did was make us angry.
they did that.
Oh, and make us extremely racist. More racist.
What? But the Japanese made us racist. How did they do that?
I'd say it merely extended the racism to a different set of people.
Exactly. we were already racist against the Asians. We were using them to build our railroads. Now we transitioned to just... putting them in a camp. Yeah.
Various camps.
Never forget, your government does not give a crap about you, and it never will. It'll put you in a hole when it's convenient.
Every crisis will be exploited.
Welcome to 2026, everybody! Who are we putting in camps this year? Oh, wait! The Somalis!
Wait, what's going on there? Are they,
They're the latest dog whistle attack. We're going after them. Now, instead of crazy people going to pizza places looking for pedophiles, they're going to Somali daycares.
They don't need to go to pizza places.
Really?
You can go to the White House.
Where did this all start? Is there oil? Do they have oil that we need? Just like Venezuela? What's the motivation for this center? Is there just madness? Dog attacking?
Well, there's a bit of a weird...
Something happened in the news recently in Somalia.
There's a lot of stuff happening.
Every day there's something happening!
There's a splinter group civil war in Somalia, and they've split off and called the northern part of the country Somaliland. And Israel recognized Somaliland, but... Trump is not recognizing Somaliland, at least for now. So it's just weird that there's things working at cross purposes here.
Just call it America Land. He'll pay attention. Like the Gulf of America.
Yeah, but it's all the way in Africa. It's all the way in Africa, so I don't know how that would work.
It would still work.
It may work.
Just put his name on it. I was gonna say, put his name on it. It'll work. That's all you gotta do. You just tickle his balls a little bit, you'll get whatever you want.
They might sue for the use of his name. Yeah, that's something that's happening.
No pirate attacks on ships or anything like that? That was a thing that we were grabbing.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing, isn't it?
Cargo.
Malian pirates. I think it's actually gotten better recently.
Yeah, that's because they armed the ship.
Yeah.
They can shoot back.
Yeah, and they started getting, escorts. Apparently there was a resurgence in Somali piracy last year. And people don't know whether it's a flare-up or a return to things as normal.
Return to things as normal? In other words...
Regular Somali piracy.
The year before last year, it was down. And maybe even the year before that.
Correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
That you said last year, the 2025.
Yes. Yeah. Now we're talking about last year. It's 2025 is now last year.
Look at me. I'm the captain.
So?
Oh, my God.
So maybe... What? USAID programs going down, more people starving, to fight the air?
get hungry, people get desperate.
Well, to my understanding, a lot of those aid programs, as well-meaning as they were also mismanaged and didn't really make it to the people they were intended to go to.
Is it just me, or is there just so much stuff coming at us constantly, it's impossible to bat it down?
That's the point. It's a fire hose.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of...
It's a fire hose to overload you so that you can't... Like, it's like a tiger going after a zebra. When the zebras all run in a herd, they turn into a gray mess. You can't pick one out. Yeah. So you starve.
It's by design.
Yep. Entirely. It's called the... If you're in a conversation, it's called a gish gallop. Or Steve Bannon called it flooding the zone with bull excrement. And it's effective. It works. Because most people reach the point where they have to tune out for their own sanity. I'm not sane to start with, so I just pay attention more and more. The masochist in me comes right out. It's like, punish me, let's go.
Well, that's good for you. I tuned out a long time ago. I couldn't keep up with it.
I'm just more angry every day. I have more things to be angry at, and I know it, and they just go on the list.
Yeah, I can't live like that. It'll send me hurtling to a early death.
I ain't planning to live super long. I don't want to live super long. Like, I want to go out like Gary Busey. Honk! Honk! And if you don't know what I'm talking about...
Sorry, I don't know. What, are you going to look something up and show me?
Yeah, I'm going to play it into the ring. I'm going to play it into the mic. I can find it.
I thought we were moving forward.
We are. We're moving into a new year.
The world's moving forward. I'm not. I'm going backwards in time.
Hey, it's Gary Busey. And I have got a great Christmas present for you. Listen to this. That's what a goose sounds like when they're flying. They let you know they're up there. You get a bunch of geese together. They're hawking in the air.
Is this real?
He's wearing a Killer Clowns from Outer Space hat. This is how I want to die. I want the drugs to do this to me.
That's AI. Come on.
I don't think AI can do this. I don't think...
It does sound like...
I don't think AI is capable of recreating Gary Busey yet.
Got a point there.
No, no, no. I remember seeing an AI-generated thing with Gary Busey talking about... what was it? Sausage. Butter sausage. Butter and sausage, yep. Something like that.
Are you sure it was AI?
Yes, I am sure.
Could have been the real one.
Nope. The mouth was moving, but the video frame was...
You know what?
Fixed.
In this world, I don't even need to look it up. I'll just take your word for it.
Yeah.
But, I'm seeing more and more AI of people, but it's kind of... It's obvious to me. When they're doing, like, an AI of, like, a YouTuber I know, and it's just like, okay, this person's kind of just sitting there motionlessly staring at the thing and reading like this over and over. Like that one Joe Rogan video they did where everybody was like, I can't believe he's saying this. And I'm like, this is an AI. How dumb are you people?
Yeah, but that's how good the voice generation models are. So, I mean...
The voice was good. I had to actually look at the video to go, this is an AI. And in 2 or 3 years, I'm not going to be able to do that. It's probably going to be able to trick me. And that's what I'm afraid of.
We're moving to a post-reality.
Yeah, nothing's going to matter. That's why I tell all these people that worry about archiving things in history. I'm like, why are you working so hard? Everything you work to, like, save is just going to be rewritten by some schmuck in a few years. They're just going to take what you thought, and they're going to think your thing's wrong, and they're going to erase it and put something in its place.
And then we'll... That'll be called the Ministry of Truth.
Absolutely.
Schmuck working at the main true.
Futurama is the future. We will look to the past with complete ignorance. I think we do that now, but I think we're going to do it with exception later.
I don't know.
The slop will take over.
And then maybe we'll just move to new systems.
The present is already dead, and the future is transistory.
Transistory? Wow.
Transitory?
Transistory.
Transistory? Like, transistor? Twisted transistor?
Nice. If a listener has not heard Twisted Transistor,
go
listen to it. It's by Korn.
Pirate it now. Don't pay anybody for it.
They could just go on YouTube.
There you go.
And then Korn could get paid. Korn's publisher could get paid
or
a few cents.
Or you could go download Ad Nauseam, which is the new super like anti-ad extension for browsers that, unlike uBlock Origins, which is the supreme ad blocker, Ad Nauseam actively sends, like, it basically clicks all the ads on all the pages so that it makes none of the ads worthwhile to anything you're using. It's like, if you're going to click on every ad, then none of the ads are worth paying for. So that's what Ad Nauseam does. It feeds them a bunch of fake date, like, advertising information.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't have enough internet bandwidth to spare.
It does eat up bandwidth to do it, but Ad Nauseam is the way to fight back actively. uBlock Origins is the way to do it passively. Get that now. If you want YouTube ads to go away, get uBlock Origins. If you want to be able to download YouTube videos, get NewPipe on your Android device or get YT-DLP. YT-DLP is a terminal program for Linux that downloads YouTube videos very well.
YTDLP is actually cross-platform, so you could get it on a Windows machine, too.
Windows machine.
There's probably a nice...
Your Windows machine is going to report your piracy to somebody.
No.
Your Linux machines will protect your privacy.
They don't care. They don't care that much.
They don't care, but they'll know. They're not going to fault you for it, but it's going to go into their little database, so that way one day when you get like a high-class job or you become a politician, they're going to use it to blackmail you.
If I had every one of your passwords but never looked at them, does that mean that I know what your passwords are?
Yes.
Does it?
I have every one of your passwords. It's called the random number generator and time. I mean, technically.
Well, you don't have infinite time.
Yeah, well, my quantum computer does.
My quantum computer.
It infinitely resolves all possibilities, son. What you got?
10 to the 120 seconds.
Yeah, my quantum computer is going to find that 10 to 120 like length password. No problem.
I have post-quantum cryptography.
Nice. That's for us ultra-paranoid people worried about. Download now.
Ultra paranoid.
Save now, decrypt later.
It's default in the newest versions of Secure Shell, SSH.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, anything over version 9.5 or 9.9.
Super cool.
Yeah, right. It's dead and alive at the same time.
Just like that cat.
Even if you put it through a quantum computer, it wouldn't know if it was dead or alive. In terms of your encryption keys.
Until it looks in the box. Data. You guys got anything you want to get out before we call it for the night? We only got a couple minutes left.
What's in the box? I don't know. I don't have any.
What's in the box? It's not a cat. It's a superimposed cat. To you, to the cat, the cat's in the box fine. Or dead.
But it is superluminal.
Oh. It's superluminal.
Nothing is superluminal except the expansion of actual space.
Actually, that's in dispute now.
I'm sorry?
As far as I've read, that's in dispute.
What is?
The superluminal expansion of space. So is its constancy.
Okay, so my statement still remains true. The only thing that could be faster than light is space.
Does it even make sense to say that space's expansion is faster than light? Because...
Sure. Because the expansion could also be seen as something virtual. Like, if I take a laser pointer and I point it at the moon, I can move that laser pointer's dot across the surface of the moon faster than the speed of light. But I can't move anything actually faster than the speed of light. I could just make the dot.